So is the nature of the illicit drug business changing in the Western Hemisphere? A notorious cartel leader in custody in Mexico. Is it a sign that Mexican and U.S. authorities are becoming harder to hide from? Does the capture of El Chapo Guzman, leader of the Sinaloa cartel, announced with great fanfare last weekend, does it impair the drug cartel from conducting its multi-billion dollar global operations? Joining us now is Mike Vigil, a former DEA agent who spent 13 years of his 31-year career working in Mexico. Welcome, Mike.
Hello. How are you doing?
So, Mike, I'm doing fine. Were you feeling happy when El Chapo's arrest was announced?
Well, actually, I was elated with the capture of Chapo. As you well know, he escaped from prison in the city of Guadalajara, Mexico, 13 years ago. So we have been pursuing Chapo for a number of years, and his capture was actually the crown jewel for the Peña Nieto administration.
But what does it mean for Sinaloa? I mean, are they able to operate without El Chapo? And is the whole cartel business really shifting from what was going on in Mexico a few years ago?
Well, keep in mind that Chapo Guzman, during the time that he was a fugitive, began to consolidate his power within the Sinaloa cartel. And he, in essence, created a totalitarian regime where he made himself the supreme ruler. As a result of that, his capture is going to have a great deal of disruption to the Sinaloa cartel. However, that disruption will eventually be overcome once a new leader is identified, and that person is probably going to be Ismael Mayo Zambada, that is one of the trusted lieutenants to Chapo Guzman.
We talked right after the arrest earlier this week that maybe the drug business in the Western Hemisphere is changing. I mean, you've got legalization of marijuana taking place in the United States. You've got a whole different approach to the drug wars taking place in Mexico and better cooperation between the U.S. and Mexico. Do you think this affects the business overall, or is it business as usual?
Well, the thing is that in Mexico, the drug trade has changed significantly. Obviously, there was always violence involved, but not the wholesale slaughter that is currently taking place in Mexico between the cartels, dismemberments, beheadings, individuals that, have just completely decimated the country. Since 2006, there have been over 70,000 homicides taking place in Mexico. Most of those are through the violence generated through drug trafficking.
And there's no loyalty to El Chapo. It's loyalty to the cartel. It's loyalty to, in a sense, the corporation.
Well, it's loyalty to money and power. That's the thing that drives the drug trade. Obviously, Chapo Guzman was an intolerant ruler, and he, dominated through fear. You know, he's an individual that probably killed more people than Osama bin Laden, killed tens of thousands of individuals in Mexico, and then, a lot of individuals here in the United States through the cells that he controlled in many cities throughout the United States.
But I'm wondering if deeper into what you are saying here, the strategy of going after the kingpins in the cartels is perhaps not the best approach in trying to cut off and strangle their billion-dollar global business.
Well, obviously, just taking out the head is not going to totally disrupt the organization. The efforts are going to continue between the United States and Mexico because it has to be a top-to-bottom dismantling, a neutralization, if you will, of the organization. Otherwise, the drug trade will continue unabated.
And I want to press you on this. Do you think legalization of marijuana in Colorado and Washington State matters? Do you think the cartels are on notice to try to become legal players if this movement really continues to accelerate in the United States?
No, I think that the legalization of marijuana here in the United States sends a very conflicting message to a lot of the producer countries because, in essence, we pressure them to eliminate drug crops, and then we are legalizing it here. For example, Mexico, loses hundreds of police officers and military personnel who are engaged in the counter drug effort, and they look at us as being somewhat arrogant by legalizing drugs and then holding them accountable for the production.
So I gather that you don't envy the job of your active agent colleagues, and you wouldn't want to be down there having to explain why you're enforcing a policy of drug control of marijuana when it's being legalized north of the border.
Well, it's correct because, a lot of police officers that I'm familiar with, not only in Mexico but in Colombia, they ask, well, why is the United States, legalizing marijuana? And, here we are losing our friends who are being killed by the drug traffickers as we engage in crop destruction.
Do the cartels take advantage of that?
Well, the cartels are polydrug dealers. So a lot of individuals argue the fact that if you legalize drugs, that you're going to eliminate the criminal element to it. But, that's not the case. Because individuals like Chapo Guzman, not only do they traffic marijuana, but they traffic heroin, methamphetamine, and then their big cash flow is through the trafficking of cocaine.
Mike Vigil is a former DEA agent who worked in Mexico for 13 years. He joined us from Washington, D.C. Mike, thanks so much.
Thank you.